Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, we're not. But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
We are. And before we get started, we want just to remind you, I know if you listen to this podcast every week, you hear it every week, but if you're new, you can visit our website at forever35podcast.com for links to anything we talk about on the show. We're on Twitter at forever35pod and Instagram at forever35podcast. And there is a Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums. Please join the party.
And there's also Forever 35 subreddit at reddit.com/r/forever35. So if you're not on Facebook, you can talk amongst yourselves over there. If you want to talk to us, we have a voicemail number where you can also text us, 781-591-0390. You can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. We also accept emailed voice memos. And just a reminder, you know, I know we've been around for a while, but we do appreciate a rating or review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, thank you. Those are so nice.
They're so nice. And if you like the show, you know, tell a friend.
Dori, you know, every time when we mention, like, you can text us. Sometimes I always pop over and just look to see if we've received any new texts. And can I read you one that we just got?
You may.
Like literally 20 minutes ago. This person wrote, had to pause the pod. You guys mentioned the speed of your voices, and I'm one of those annoying people that listen to your podcast at 1.5 speed. And the other day, I slowed you guys down to normal speed, and you just sounded drunk. So I couldn't. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
We must sound very speedy if talking at 1.5 speed.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, hello to that listener.
Hello, indeed.
Hello, hello. Tell me, Dori, about the challah you baked. Did it feel good? Were you relaxed?
So, full disclosure, the challah is currently in the oven. And there's a chance that we won't be done before it needs to come out. So I might end up interrupting the pod to take the challah out of the oven. So I apologize in advance.
Pause the pod, if as we say.
Yes. Yeah, it felt good. You know what the impetus was, if I'm being fully honest? Matt has kind of been like, Matt will never come out and like ask for something that he needs, but he'll be passive aggressive about it. So for the last few weeks, he's been like on Saturdays, we used to make French toast with challah. He's been like, oh, there's no challah. I've been like, yeah, I've been really busy. Like, I have not had time to bake any challah. And then this morning, he goes, what's your plan for today? And I'm like telling him, oh, I have these meetings and recording and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, okay. So no challah. And I was like, I can make a challah. And he's like, no. That's why I was asking, like, what you're doing today. But I was just wondering if you were going to make a challah. I'm like, I can make a challah. Like, I actually do. I can, like, I don't have, like, huge blocks of time where I need to, like, be out of the house today. I have a bunch of meetings and calls, but, like, I will have time in between those to make a challah. And he was like, oh, well, I mean, you just never make challah anymore.
Oh my gosh. He knows he can like Google a challah recipe.
Yeah, I mean, too, to be fair, he's working.
Okay.
So he's not at home. Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny. So I was like, okay, I will make a challah. So I actually have two challahs in the oven right now.
Oh,
I know. You have had my challah.
Yeah, it's really good. Like it's excellent.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You are, I appreciate that.
So welcome, but I mean, it truly, it's an understatement as to how good it is. You brought me a loaf and I saved like a shred for the rest of the members of my family.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, you got to eat the whole loaf yourself. I mean,
you got to eat the whole loaf yourself. Oh,
it's like, but I mean, it's just like a cloud. It's so good. It's so soothing. Mm. Bread, you know, bread has gotten such a bad reputation in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, what with people's desire not to engage in carbohydrate consumption. But I mean, bread is magic.
Yeah.
It's healing. It's fulfilling. It's delicious. It's warming.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful expression of like to receive bread is so beautiful. I don't know. I'm a breadhead, Dory. I am a breadhead.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So that's happening in my house right now.
Oh, does your house smell like bread too right
now?
It is
starting to smell like bread.
God, I gotta make bread. Maybe I'll make bread.
You know, I briefly attempted to make sourdough as I discussed on this podcast, and it like, I don't know. I just was not, it did not work for me.
Just
maybe I need to just keep going, like keep trying it. I don't know. It just never, I felt like the loaves I made were not that good. I felt like I never got like a great rise for my starter.
Did you make your starter yourself?
I did.
See, a friend who's a really good bread maker gave me some starter and I ruined it. So now I need to figure out how to get more starter in my life.
I mean, you can just make it.
I know.
But it takes a while.
I'm nervous to try it, but I might have to just make it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just need to pay closer attention to the bread baking masterclass in full honesty.
Yes. I'm obsessed with that bread baking masterclass.
Yeah. So I need to go back and like rewatch some of it.
While we're on the topic of bread, can I shout out an Instagram that I've really enjoyed following that I believe I found out from former Midwestern correspondent Nora McInerney?
Yes.
There's an Instagram account called bread_sweat_and_tears. Bread, sweat, and tears. It's a person named Ashley, and the description is, "Welcome to my journey through grief and healing after losing my wife. For the next year, I plan to bake bread every day and document the experience." And I've loved following this Instagram account. And this person puts, they have like a little free library, but it's like a little free bread library. And they put loaves of, they have like a bread day, and they put bread in the box, and it's free with a suggested donation. And I just like, I've really been, you know, I'm fascinated by grief as a person who's like written about it and thought about it. And I just think it's such a beautiful expression of like grieving and honoring your loved one and community. And so, and also the bread always looks delicious.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a really great follow. I really enjoy it. So
that's so cool.
If anyone wants to follow a great bread account, there you go.
Thank you for the rec. Kate, how are you doing?
Well, Dory, I am I'm on the precipice of a very intense work deadline.
Yeah.
I am stepping into the abyss and
yeah.
I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous. So like kind of balancing all those nerves and anxiety and insecurity and also confidence, like with also just like the fact that I have to get it done because I have a deadline is hard. Like it's like there's a voice in my head that's like, "You're trash. You're the worst. This is terrible."
No.
But and then there's like a contractual deadline that I have to meet. So like I can't just give in to those voices. So it's a real practice in like I don't know, facing my fears, I guess. And I don't identify as a perfectionist, but I do identify as someone who's terrified of like people not liking me or disappointing people. And this is my first novel. I want to do a good job for myself. And so, you know, I'm just breathing down my own neck here. But so I have a book that's in the revision realm right now that you will all be able to read next year. And I don't know. I'm a little scared. I'm a lot scared. I'm just playing it down to try to sound cool, but I'm a lot scared.
I mean, I have not read your book, but if it's anything like anything else you've ever written, I think it's probably great.
It's more just the amount of stuff I have to do to get it to the place. Like, it's, you know, when you look at a project and you're like, I can imagine what this will look like at the end.
Yes.
And I see where I'm at now. But the getting there looks like just a blob of barf that you have. Like, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
And so, like, what are the things I do? What are the practices that I put in place? Like, what are the ways I ground myself and get this shit done? I don't know. I'm kind of working on it and figuring out how to, like, be kind to myself when those voices pop into my head.
I mean, I don't have any great advice for you because I feel like finishing my book was, like, it was really hard.
Yeah. But you did it. That's the part that inspires me. You did it.
I did do it. I did not make my deadlines that I was supposed to make. I made the final deadline. I made the deadline where she was like, if you don't turn it in by this date, we're going to have to push it again. And I was like, okay.
Here it comes.
But it was like the last possible second that I could have turned it in. So I guess I just need a deadline. Like, I need a hard, hard deadline.
Yeah.
And I can ferret out soft deadlines. Like, I know when someone is giving me a fake deadline.
Oh. Oh, ho, ho. Interesting.
Yeah.
You can sniff out a soft deadline.
I can sniff out a fake deadline, a soft deadline. Yeah, I can.
Oh, fascinating.
And I'm not proud of it, you know, because it's like not nice. Like, you know, someone gives you a deadline, like you should try to hit the deadline. But
this is how, like, when someone gets an addition put on their house and they're like told it's going to take, I don't know, 6 months, and like 2 years later, it's still going, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like that. It is kind of like that, except, well, yeah, I guess it is kind of like that. I don't know. I got mine done. You will get yours done. It might suck for a little while, but you will get it done.
Well, I am going to treat myself to a work-focused weekend this weekend. And part of that is that I'm treating myself to watch some of my favorite rom-coms to just kind of like get inspired about what I'm writing and feel good inside. And like, I cannot wait. I'm watching my favorite movie, which is When Harry Met Sally. And
what else are you watching? What is on this list?
Okay, so When Harry Met Sally is probably my favorite movie. And then I'll probably also watch You've Got Mail. Those will probably be the two I do. I don't have like tons of time. And then, of course, I'm going to watch not a rom-com, but Framing Britney Spears, which I haven't seen yet. I've been kind of like saving it. Or I'm going to start a new K-drama called Goblin. Or maybe What's the Matter with Secretary Kim. I've got lots of things. Now that I have a lot of work, I'm like, oh, what should I watch?
Yeah. Wow. Totally.
Anyway, that's where I'm at. But I can like feel the embrace of the rom-coms. Like, rom-coms for me are so soothing. I just can like...
Yes.
I can just like see Meg Ryan dragging a Christmas tree through the streets of New York. And I'm so ready. I'm so excited. Just give it to me.
Ugh,
give me that feeling.
That sounds great. Sounds great.
Well, thank you. And I'm sorry that Call Your Agent ended for you. I'm sorry about that. You finally
watched. Call My Agent.
Call My Agent, not Call Your Agent.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it should be called Call Your Agent, but it's called Call My Agent for unknown reasons. In my head, there were 8 episodes in this season, but it turns out there were only 6. So last night, I got all comfy on the couch, ready to watch my 3rd-to-last episode, only to discover that it was actually the last episode, which was kind of a bummer, but you know, what are you gonna
do? I'm sorry, Dory.
It's just, you know, the agents of ASK have been taken away from me.
We need our characters.
We do. We really do. Now, Kate, if I may, I feel like this could be a Louise Penny situation.
Go on.
I feel like you are, you haven't watched this.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
Which is totally fine. Like we, as discussed many times, like we have different tastes. We don't watch the same things or read the same things. Like we are different people. But every so often there is something that I just feel very strongly about, not just because I love it so much, but because I do genuinely feel that you will love it.
Okay. Okay, Dory.
All I ask is for one episode.
I'll give it to you.
I watched 3 episodes of Schitt's Creek, okay?
That's true. I feel more generous in acquiescing to my pop culture demands than I am to yours.
I feel like we have different tastes, but they're not so divergent that I could never watch something that you're interested in. They're just slightly different. So when you're into something, I'm always like, oh, well, Kate has good taste. I'm going to check that out.
All right, Dory.
But I mean, it's fine. You don't feel the same way about me. I get it.
I don't think you have good taste is what this whole podcast has been leading toward.
That's what I'm gathering after 3 years.
Where it's at.
Doing this podcast.
I do think you have good taste. And I will watch Call My Agent.
Again, just one episode.
Just one episode. Maybe I'll do it tonight. Maybe I'll do it tonight.
And if you don't like it, c'est la vie.
Oh my God. You are going to keep speaking in French, though, whenever you can work it in, aren't you?
Oui.
All right. I'm ready. I'll do it tonight, okay. And I'll text you when it happens.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited.
I'm committing.
I'm actually excited.
Okay. Okay. Great. I commit to this. Once my kids are in bed, it's time for me to travel to France.
I'm psyched. Great. Wonderful.
Well, I think we should probably take a little break because...
Let's do that.
We are going to continue getting into pop culture.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We have with us on the show Mariah Smith, who is, I would say, a Kardashian scholar.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would say that too.
She's so knowledgeable about reality TV, pop culture. She tells us all about Kylie Jenner's skincare line. I mean, we just have a blast. And she's the host of a really great new podcast called Spectacle. So,
yes.
Stay tuned because after the break, we talk to Mariah Smith.
We do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
We are so excited to welcome Mariah Smith to Forever 35. Mariah, hello. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
So we love to start off by sharing our guest's bio so everyone can get to know them. So allow me to introduce you to you. In 2015, Mariah Smith created Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, a blog that tracked the continuity and tracks the continuity errors in Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And Mariah also writes entertainment essays, television recaps, and Kardashian roundups for various outlets. And Keeping Up with the Kardashians has also been featured on numerous outlets. Mariah has written for or is featured on the New York Times, Vice, Time, The Cut, Allure, Cosmopolitan, Complex, GQ, Jezebel, and more. She also wrote on the Fox sitcom Outmatched, and she hosts the pop culture discussion show The Smith Sisters on Sirius XM with, yes, her sisters. And now she is the host of a new podcast called Spectacle, which just launched with their first season covering the unscripted history of reality TV. And I've just been listening to the first two episodes, and it is fascinating.
Wow. Thank you for that. That was more than I could have hoped for.
Listen, that is you in a nutshell, according to the internet. But we're excited to dig in deeper on this episode of Forever 35. And we're so glad. Yes. We're so glad you could join us. We cannot wait to talk about the Kardashians.
I can't wait either.
I have so many questions. Dory has a great, Dory, I'm very excited about your Addison Rae tie-in. But first, Mariah, you know, we love to kind of try to begin our interviews with guests with asking them about a self-care practice they have in their own life, any sort of ritual that brings you comfort, peace, calm, and it can really be anything. So we wanted to pose the question to you, what is something you do on a daily basis as self-care?
You know, it changes often, but at the moment it is my nightly 1 hour on TikTok, which seems very, you know, counteractive to self-care, but I literally go on TikTok for exactly an hour until the TikTok of the well-being check pops up. And it tells me, take a break, go get a sip of water, go to sleep. And I'm like, okay, I've done what I needed to do for the day. Time to shutter the phone and go to sleep finally. But it feels so calming, and I feel like I'm connecting to the world at large in some capacity. And it's just a good way to end the night with a couple of giggles and funny, crazy things that you see online.
It's interesting that you do TikTok at the end of the day, because I find like I can do a lot of doom scrolling on Instagram or reading the news, but there is a real joyful aspect to TikTok that seems different from other social media platforms.
Right. And it's also like, it's not people I know. It's just people who I will never come across again in my life. And I see them for 15 to 16, 60 seconds. And it is just so joyful that it really takes the place of Instagram or Twitter, things that could easily stress me out. TikTok does not stress me out in any sort of way.
Do you have
I was just going to say, Dory. It's so funny you say that, because I was just having this conversation with someone and I can't remember who, but we were talking about TikTok and I was like, I don't look at it every day, but I look at it when I just need to kind of soothe my brain.
Right, right.
And it is always at the end of the day. And it is just, like you said, it is just kind of calming. And there is something about seeing these people who I don't know, mm-hmm. but who are just like entertaining, just scrolling on through. You're right. It is like the opposite of doom scrolling. So I'm actually really glad to hear you say that is something that you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I find it so, and the time just goes by so quickly. And that's what I like too. Like I'm someone who needs to do, I don't believe in not having your phone on you before you go to sleep. Like I need to do something on my phone until I literally fall asleep with it in my hands. So TikTok does that for me. But then also I'm like, okay, I did that. I can set my phone down and I can finally go to sleep. And that to me is what's most important about it.
Can I ask a question though? You have a really good boundary set up with your phone. Like the pop-up comes up that you've set up that's like, it's been an hour, time to get off. And then you do it. I'm like, did that take practice, or are you just really able to kind of have that self-control when it comes to using your phone?
It takes practice. And the only app that I'm good at with like actually putting my phone down is TikTok, because I know that there will always be more. It just seems like such a treat to me that I don't want to waste it. And Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, they don't feel like treats. I'm like, I could be on here until the cows come home and depress myself. Why not keep going? But TikTok, it's like there's a finality to it that I feel soothed in my soul to be like, okay, put the phone down.
I hear that.
So may I ask, do you have, like if someone is new to TikTok, you know, because our listeners tend to air in their 30s and 40s. Do you have like a gateway TikToker, or is it more just like you go to the feed and scroll, or is there someone that you kind of have come back to as a person you like to follow?
I think it's you go to the feed and scroll because it will cater to you. Like it hones in on what you like and what you tend to scroll through or hashtags you click on. Like I have gone deep into Grey's Anatomy TikTok and SVU TikTok and somehow baby TikTok, because I'm obsessed with like pregnancy and the development of a woman's body when they're pregnant. So I have found like they've honed into what I want to see. So if you just keep scrolling and liking, TikTok somehow reads your mind and will know exactly what you want to see.
Yeah, their For You algorithm is kind of eerie, actually.
It is. I think it's something that the way the phone listens to you, TikTok must be listening as mm-hmm. well, or looking at your search history or something, because it really doesn't make any sense how accurate it is.
Well, since we kind of opened with a TikTok discussion, I'm just going to go right into my question about Addison.
Yes.
Okay, so I think people are probably familiar, but just in case they're not, Addison Rae is a TikTok star who has developed
a friendship with Kourtney Kardashian, who is at least her mom's age, if not older. And mm-hmm. people have been kind of questioning, especially, I think, what Kourtney's motives are in, you know, having this friendship with her. So what are your thoughts on Addison and Kourtney's friendship?
I have to say, when I first saw that friendship, when the friendship first came across my desk, I was shocked. I had just learned about Addison Rae, and to me, I'm like, wow, I'm still in my 20s, and she's, I think, 20, and she made me feel quite old. So I didn't understand, like, how the... what the conversations were like between Kourtney and Addison, because from how Kourtney tells it, or how I saw online, Kourtney met Addison through her son, Mason, who yes. was around 10 or 11, and he's closer in age to Addison. Right. So to me, that was always like a, huh, that's an interesting tidbit. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had answers for you, because I am just as confused as you are, but they seem to be doing everything together. They've gone on to twin with each other in their outfits and bathing suit choices. Yes. And there must be some common denominator, Mason perhaps, that brings the two of them together in a way that none of us could ever possibly fathom.
Well, I also, like, I find it kind of interesting as a person who is Kourtney's age or older. I don't have many friendships with people who are 20 years younger than me. And it's interesting that, like, my first reaction was kind of like, oh, what's in it for them? Or like kind of like revulsion or irritation, instead of like, oh, how great, there's this like intergenerational friendship happening. I wonder, right. like, I wonder if maybe they're actually, like, celebrity motivation aside, they're kind of modeling an interesting friendship that we don't see a lot.
You're so right. And it is almost like if it were, you know, a 40-year-old guy and a 20-year-old guy, we wouldn't really be as shocked, I don't think, because it was like, oh, they're just broing out, they're bros, whatever. So you're right. It is fascinating to see this intergenerational friendship and a close friendship at that, and see how the two are like, you don't have to be in the same age bracket to have something in common or to find similar things interesting. So it is fascinating. I do ship it as a friendship, because it's confusing, but I like to be confused when it comes to my celebrities. Like, I don't need to know your motives exactly. That's what makes you so fascinating.
What if totally. What do you think, like, we as Americans have kind of learned, if there's anything at all, about self-care from the Kardashians? Like, do you think they model it in a positive way?
I really think they do, because their self-care is not caring what other people think. And they've had to learn that through some hard, hard trials. And like, if you go back and look at some early episodes of Keeping Up, they really are hurt and invested in what the public has to say about them. But as you get to later seasons and later episodes, they're very vocal that I'm just going to live my life. Like, they've heard every insult in the book by now, that it doesn't faze them. So their self-care is tuning all of that out, which I think is a lesson that a lot of us could take in.
And yet they seem, they kind of run on the approval and adoration of the public.
That's true. That's a fair point. That is a fair point, because it is their bread and butter and what sustains them. But I think they take in the adoration, but the hate they could take or leave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is always fascinating to me with the Kardashians in particular, when they do choose to keep things private. Like, I feel right. like relatively Kylie has kept Stormy pretty private. Mm-hmm. Like, her pregnancy was pretty private. She does put her on social media, but like not as kind of like not as much as you would expect.
Right.
And I don't know. I just find that interesting when you see that there are parts of their lives that they're like, okay, I'm actually going to kind of keep this held back a little bit.
I do find that interesting, especially when it comes to their kids. Like, there's the story that had recently came out where Northwest had a painting, and that people were shocked mm-hmm. that she could paint something so beautiful and paint it so well. What do you think, Kate?
I'm sorry, I'm reacting because I'm so obsessed with this story because I have a child the same age as North. I believe North painted it. I don't think they're lying. It's more just like North takes a private oil painting class and that Kim was like,
right.
That, just all of that just was like, what?
Right. But and to me,
I think she did it. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think she did it too. And to me that it shows just how much is underneath the show of fame and what we see as their public personas. I'm like, wow, Kim really signed North up for this private oil painting class with her friends that she's clearly been in for months to paint a photo that spectacular and detailed, something I could never do in my wildest dreams. And to think of all of the little sort of interests the kids have and activities they do that really don't seep into their parents' public personas, I find that so interesting. And I wish I could know more. It's like, I want a gallery of Northwest paintings now. What else can she do that we don't know? Like, what talents are these children hiding?
And just a private oil painting class. Like, that sounds like something out of like Marie
Antoinette.
It's like a
19th century, governess kind of situation.
But I also like, but then there's also a part of me that's like, well, I love, like, Kim obviously has the fortune to nurture her child's passions and like, okay, like, great.
Yeah.
I'm happy
not?
For North. Yeah. Yeah.
Why
also,
not?
Also, like, employing an artist during a pandemic, like, great.
Yeah, way to go, Kim.
You know?
are you able to enjoy the Kardashians and your other reality TV pursuits as part of self-care, or because you cover it and come at it from an analytical, you know, like cultural critic mind, does it even like provide you that anymore?
It does provide me some joy. So there definitely was a period of time where I was not finding joy in any sort of reality TV whatsoever. But I think because I work in TV in general, like, I've already seen behind the curtain and I still will watch TV till my eyes bleed. So it feels like that sort of has been, you know, I've refound the joy in television and reality TV. And there are shows that I don't cover, like The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I will scream from the mountaintops, is one of the best reality shows of our time. And I think everyone, no matter where you come from, what you do, what you like, will find something to enjoy out of that program. And there are things like that surprise me with how deeply invested I can become in them, because I thought I had sort of fallen numb to certain joys and excitements when it comes to reality TV, but to know that I haven't is just one of the greatest happinesses of my life.
What are some other shows, reality or not reality, that you are obsessed with that you think our listeners would want to hear about to kind of help them get through the pandemic?
You know, so reality TV wise, I would say Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Potomac. Those are two top tier Housewives franchises, and Vanderpump Rules, which all of these are on Hulu, very easy to access. Vanderpump Rules, they are pre-existing relationships that are so deeply intertwined with one another that make it such a fascinating watch. But beyond that, I have the taste of a grandmother, essentially. Like, I spend my days watching NCIS and SVU. That's literally all I watch when it comes to just when Mariah sits down to turn on the TV to get a little joy in her life, she's watching Gibbs on NCIS. So I think shows like that that have such a pattern and routine to them are helpful to me, despite what my therapist says, that I think that those are just something that's soothing and an expected pleasure that I get out of my day. So those are what I would recommend.
Right, because you know at the end of every episode, the bad guy's going to get caught. The case will get solved. It's, you know, it's very satisfying, especially in such a period of like uncertainty that we live in now, to have these things that do provide that certainty. I mean, I love reading mystery novels, I think for the same reason, because I know there's going to be this like satisfying conclusion. So right? I totally hear that.
That's exactly what I thought of too, Dory. Like either a cozy mystery or a romance novel, there's this like the way you feel the structure, like it's almost holds you. Those like episodic shows that are exactly the same over and over again, like it just feels so good.
Same beats, like you just, it's so comforting to just know what to expect.
Yes. And it's like, no matter, and I could watch the same episodes over and over and over again. And I'm like, there's no greater joy.
Yeah. Like, I don't want an ambiguous ending. I don't want, like, I don't want something where I'm like, what did that mean? Like, I don't get it. Or, you know,
exactly.
What do you think happens? Like, I'm like, no, tell me what happens.
Tell me what happens. And I also like the idea of I could watch a season 10 episode of a show that's run for 16 to 20 seasons. And I'm like, nothing's going to happen to this main character because I know they're still shooting the show. So if they come into any danger on the episodes, that is great because my family makes fun of me. I have a hard time like when things end. So typically when I read a book, I'll read the last chapter first so I know where everything is going. Mm. And if I watch a TV show, I always read spoilers. And like when I go to a movie, spoilers feed me because I get so anxious about what's going to happen to these characters that I've become invested in. So that I think is another reason why these shows that I watch over and over and over again are so key in keeping me satisfied.
Mariah, I do the same thing. Like when I was watching The Americans, like I couldn't take it. Like I had to read the recaps before I watched the episode because it was like so stressful. So I've totally, like, totally done that.
People don't get it, but I am all for a spoiler. You will never upset me with a spoiler alert.
Yes.
It does not away from my enjoyment of the show at all. In fact, I would argue it adds to it because I'm not stressed out.
I am in the same boat and it drives my husband nuts, but I'll be sitting there, we'll be watching something and I'll be on my phone finding out how it ends.
Yes.
Like way ahead. Cause I just want to know. I don't know if I necessarily read books ahead of time, but I love that you do that. I just love that feeling of like safety, security, and just knowing it's going to be okay.
I know, it feels so good. I highly recommend it.
So I did want to ask. Oops, sorry. I did want to ask about your experience trying out Kylie Jenner's skincare line, and then we would love to just dig into your own skincare passion because you have said, or at least I've read, that you love a skincare routine, and so do we. But you reviewed Kylie's line for The Cut, and I read every word. It was very funny and hilarious, and also very informative. So, can you take us on that journey? Like, what was it like to try all of Kylie's products? Were there any that stood out? And like, do you have any thoughts on celebrity skincare in general?
I definitely have thoughts on celebrity skincare, but with Kylie Skin, I will say I was pleasantly surprised. There are definitely products I would never use again, like the face wash, just because the scent of it seemed very medicinal and like that's not something I want going on to my face, at least for a face wash. But it was very fascinating trying one of the first lines that she came out with Kylie Skin. And I actually was thinking about that article the other day because I almost spent way too much money on KylieSkin.com trying to find new products. And I was like, let me just sit and think about this for a little bit longer. Because with celebrity skincare, if you're like Pharrell or J-Lo, I don't want the skincare you're selling to me. I want the skincare you've been using all of these years. Like what got you looking this way? It's not this brand new product that just can't drop from the clouds that you're, you know, hawking online. I want to know, is it truly, you know, gallons of water a day? Are you using Cetaphil? What are you using? I don't care the cost. Tell me and I will buy it. That's the celebrity skincare I want.
What if the answer though is like lasers and threading and, but like, I know J-Lo said she doesn't have Botox, but like there is a whole world of access to celebrities that I feel like the lay people don't really know about, of like dermatologist magic that we can only imagine spending money on. Like, does it frustrate you that that's never really discussed when they come out with these lines? Although the Kardashians do talk about it.
It does frustrate me because, like you said, there are, whenever a celebrity has said, I've never gone under the knife or I've never had a needle injected to me, I'm like, I follow so many cosmetic dermatologists online that treat celebrities. You can get a nose job with just lasers and a couple of fillers. Like, you don't need to go under the knife. You can get your whole face recontoured with just lasers and some sort of simple threading. Like, there is nothing. And I don't think there's anything to be shamed about regarding that, but I do feel like there should be more honesty surrounding it, because there are these things that celebrities are able to achieve with massive amounts of wealth that, you know, an average civilian can't, which I think is partially why I want to know the full, from the most expensive to the least expensive thing, Pharrell, J-Lo, Kim, what they're all doing.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think there's a lot of, like, technically I haven't gone under the knife. But it's like, I've gotten lasers and filler and, like, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good point. Well, what about KKW Beauty and Perfume? What are your thoughts there?
I respect it. I will say I did purchase, I don't know what compelled me to do it, but she has the body makeup, and I purchased some of the body makeup, and I was like, let me just try it. And it costs close to $100 for a little brush and a little tube of, you know, what boils down to paint. And I tried it. It didn't really work on me, but I could have been using it wrong. And also I'm like, I have dark skin. So if I'm wearing this body makeup and I don't do it exactly and get the powder right or whatever, it's going to get everywhere. Like, I can't afford to, you know, ruin everything I sit on or everything I touch. So for me, that was a little bit of a miss, but I do like Kim's rollout of fragrances. And I've been going back and looking at old episodes of the Kardashians and seeing, like, where her fragrances have come from season 2 or season 1 up until now. It's really fascinating.
That actually reminds me of another question I wanted to ask, which is, if someone's never watched Keeping Up, do you think they should just start from the beginning? Or is there, like, a place you would recommend that they start? Are there highlights? Like, what would you recommend?
I would recommend starting from S1, E1, the first episode ever, because it really is it really boggles the mind with where they came from, like, seeing them working in their store Dash from, and now seeing them live in apartments and condos and places that look like regular people live in, and now to where they have come from since then. It is such a journey to watch, and when you're watching it, you forget who they are outside of the show, so it feels more like you're in it with them, and you don't realize, like, oh, these are the people who have 200 million followers on Instagram. They just become Kim, Courtney, Khloe, Kylie, and Kendall, which I think is fascinating.
I have never, like, gotten into their show, but I remain fascinated by them and the way in which they've truly done it. Like, I thought, you know, I feel like other celebrities, especially when I was writing about celebrities, oh my God, 12 years ago, 13, you know, 10 years ago, there were a lot of celebrities that were huge then that did not kind of transcend and keep, you know, sustain their career. But the longevity of the Kardashians, like, reign in celebrity culture, and the way they have monetized their fame is so brilliant. For lack of a better word, you know, I know it's controversial, but it's, like, kind of genius.
It really is. Because I'm like, they took 15 minutes and stretched it so long and so wide in ways none of us could imagine. Like, you look back even in the early seasons at Kendall and Kylie, who were B players on the show, who people didn't really, you know, pay much mind to. And now Kylie is a quote-unquote billionaire. Kendall is one of the highest paid supermodels. Like, it really is a masterclass. And if you want to attain and sustain fame, look at the Kardashians.
Well, Let's talk about your new podcast also, Spectacle, which is about the unscripted history of reality TV. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and what we can expect through the rest of the season.
So I can't take credit for the concept of the podcast. It's a Sony podcast with Neon Hum Media, and they were so kind to invite me to be a part of it as host and a co-producer. But it really is taking a deep look at the history of our favorite reality TV shows and the problems that lie beneath and all of the ways it's affected our culture and how our culture has affected the shows. So what I love about Spectacle, as I mentioned earlier, I've learned so much and I know a lot about TV and reality TV, but even I have learned more about how the, you know, sausage is made with The Bachelor by having former bachelors and bachelorettes on who told us about their audition experiences, what it's really like to, you know, hand out those roses or go on those dates. And we just recorded a 90 Day Fiancé episode, which I think is my favorite one because it's such a chaotic show. Anyone who's watched it knows, but like you learn a lot about the K-1 visa process and the immigration process. Like there are things you can still learn from these seemingly quote unquote trashy, crazy TV shows. But Spectacle really is a fun deep dive into the history of reality TV. And if anyone knows what I do, like I love a deep dive and I love to get the story behind the story. So it really offers you all of that.
I love a deep dive.
Yeah.
what do you think is like a pop culture thing that should be getting more attention right now that like deserves a deep dive that's worthy of our eyeballs that isn't there yet?
So I would have to say hands down, Claudia Conway, who is Kellyanne and George Conway's daughter. She is, when we look back at history 20, 30 years from now, she will have changed history because she's broken so many stories in terms of Kellyanne having COVID, her parents separating, things like that, just by virtue of being on TikTok and being a teenager who knows how to use the internet. And I think that her effect on politics, pop culture, and celebrity is really something to be studied and to keep up with.
Mm. And apparently she's going on American Idol.
Yes, she will be on auditioned. American Idol. And on TikTok, she said they approached her and she was like, if you have the chance to go on American Idol, you do it. I'm just shocked her parents allowed it because she's underage and obviously has to have consent from someone. And they seem to want to, you know, sort of shield her from the public view as much as possible as she tells the story online. But I can't wait to watch it.
Mariah, I have one other question for you, which is about your relationship with your sisters. You know, we had one of your sisters on the show, Lauren, who was amazing, just like you. And then you have another sister, Rachel, and the three of you do a show on Sirius XM. And I'm just wondering, like, as we were talking about the Kardashians, I was thinking about like, oh, those are sisters who are really close. And you seem like you're really close with your sisters. And I'm just wondering, like, what your relationship with your sisters is like. Were you always close? And how has your relationship kind of like flourished in adulthood?
Oh, and a follow-up on that. How do you sustain it during COVID?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I will say that we are quite close. And I don't know, like, when it happened, because we're each 2.5 years apart. So from my oldest sister, Lauren, I think she's like 6 years older than me. But when we were younger, we weren't that close at all because Lauren is older and she also skipped 2 grades. So she was out of the house by the time I was like 10. Wow. So I remember our first phone call, the first conversation I remember having with Lauren, I was 11 and she was like 17. And something happened at lunch that day at middle school and no one was around. So I called her landline in her college dorm and was like, you're the only person I can reach out to. Such and such happened. I don't even remember what happened. But then we talked and I was like, oh, she's a cool person to, you know, reach out to if I need anything. And then from there, we just became even tighter as we aged. And I think because all of us, my sister Rachel used to also work in media. My sister Lauren is a writer and producer as well. we grew up doing, ended up in the same careers, and we've worked together closely on shows before. So we know how to have a friendship with one another, a sisterhood with one another, and a co-working relationship with one another, which I think is very unique because we know each other in all these different pockets of our lives. And it just simply to keep the relationships close and keep them fulfilling is communication. Like, we FaceTime and house party and video chat at least once a day. We're constantly texting one another. We are always like, we have threads on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, text message. So whatever platform there is, we're in communication. So especially during COVID, that's been good.
Oh,
that's really sweet.
That's really sweet.
I did want to ask if you have any skincare products outside of the Kardashian world that you cannot live without.
Oh God, I will have to say the skincare product that's carried me through since middle school has been Neutrogena's spot treatment. It like is in a orange and white little tube, but whenever I feel like I'm getting a breakout, I just rub that over my face and I wake up like a newborn baby. And that to me has been the best thing in the entire world. And it's like $10.
I mean,
wow.
You love to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As so I highly recommend.
Say.
Okay. Mariah, this has been so fun to talk to you. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could talk to you for a really long time, but I'll let you go. Where can our listeners find you if they want to consume all of your output, I suppose?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Mariah, M-R-I-A-H, on Instagram at Mariah, 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 and catch up with me on Spectacle Pod on all social media for updates on our podcast Spectacle, and listen to me on Sirius Radio Channel 102 Radio Andy for Smith Sisters Live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Well, thank you so much. This was such a delight.
Thanks,
thank
Mariah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I mean, that was an iconic interview, I think.
It was really fun. At some point, I sent you a message that was like, do we have to wrap it up? And you were like, one more question. And then we like kept asking more questions. And then I think I texted you and I was like, I'm having so much fun.
Another question. Well, she's just one of those people who like, you want to know her opinion on everything.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
I love Mariah as a social media follow and have for a long time because she really does know her stuff and has such like a smart, funny opinion about celebrity culture.
Yeah. And I told her this off the air, but the first time I like really encountered her was at a Who Weekly live show.
I mean, that says it all.
And she just did this presentation that was so funny and so smart. So I hope you all enjoyed this interview as much as we enjoyed talking to Mariah.
Yeah, we did.
Anyway, Kate, how are you doing in Intenshi land?
I don't know, Dory. I don't know. I was auditing my Instagram usage and I was like really rocking it out at the beginning of the week. I was talked about it on the podcast. I'm not going to look at Instagram. And let's just trot on over to Kate Spencer's screen time. Okay, look, down 18% from last week. Down 18%. Okay.
That's great.
I need to figure out like how to manipulate my phone in a way that works for me. Like, I think I thought I gave Instagram a 1 hour limit, but I seem to look at it a lot longer than that. So I don't know. I need to figure that out, but I'm working on it.
I have faith in you.
I'm trying. But this week I need to clean up my workspace. It's disgusting. I'm looking at it now. It's just like a mask, glasses, like a broken lip balm, a rag, another mask. There's just stuff everywhere, papers, pens. You know, there was an empty yogurt container, but I did clean that up. So
I have an empty bag of popcorn, if it makes you feel any better.
It does. And I have to say, that just makes me miss you, because you love to snack on popcorn while podcasting.
I do. I love popcorn. Well, not while podcasting. Well,
not like, you're not munching while the recording is going on.
No, I'm not.
Pre and post, you love a bag
and
of popcorn.
You almost always had popcorn.
That's right.
At your house.
Dory knew where the snack bin was. So did Sammy.
I did.
One day. Look, Joe Biden says the vaccines are coming.
God, I know. Please.
So anyway, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to make it. I think when I have a clean workspace, I'm more inclined to sit down and focus. So that's where I'm at. Clean it up, baby.
Completely agree. All right. Well, last week, my intention was that I had a big work deadline, so I was trying to get everything in on time. I'm trying to remember exactly what I was referring to here, because the big work deadline I have is not until next week. So maybe I just was like getting geared up for it, but I'm happy to report that I'm like on the right path. Like, I've been working on it. I think I'm on schedule is what I'm saying. So I think I'm like on the right track. And this week I also have a cleaning intention, which is to clean the entryway to our house, which just becomes this like repository for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark. And like, I need to just like clear it out. I need to find a home for things. Things that don't have a home need to either be donated, thrown away, sold, what have you. But like, this needs to stop.
You're putting your
just
foot down.
Just needs to stop. Putting my foot down. All right. Well, Kate, this was a pleasure as always.
A real treat. A delight. Very satisfying. I had a great time.
Great. Me too. Well, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Sam Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast. And we will talk to you all again very soon.
Bye.
Bye.